The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Amazing how fast these Saturdays come around, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But, you know, we're blessed with some nice weather, at least this morning, for driving in. There's no sleet or weird stuff going on, which is, you know, always a blessing in January.
Not bad. You know, one more week, we're out of January into February, so that's always positive.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we're heading in the right direction in terms
going
of
fast.
No more winter. So how was your week? Good?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, another one of those roller coaster rides in the markets. But, very interesting,
okay.
Which we're going to talk a little bit about
today.
I
guess today. It keeps you on your toes, I guess, if you're, and then that's why you're there, to keep it, keep people steady when things get weird.
Never boring.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning, the 24th day of January already, as we go into the last week of January of 2015. Another roller coaster ride in the markets this week. We saw some ups and some downs and a lot of different data and news. Let's start with the markets that ended up on a mixed note yesterday, with the Dow Jones down 141 points, closed out at 17,672. That puts the Dow negative 0.8% for the year. The NASDAQ, well, it was up 7.5 points to close at 47.57. It is the only index that is positive. It is positive 0.5% for the year. And the S&P 500 was down 11 yesterday to close at 20.51. It is down 0.3% year to date. Natural gas was up 15 cents to close at $2.99. We saw that oil, well, it retreated 72 cents yesterday, the West Texas Intermediate, down to $45.59. Well, Brent crude was up 27 cents to close at $48.79. Gas futures were up 2 cents to $1.34. I just scratched my head. The pumps, at the pumps, I saw everything from $1.98 to $2.02 coming in this morning. Gold was down $8.10 to close at $1,292.60 an ounce. Silver was down 6 cents, closed at $18.30. The VIX, the Volatility Index, or Fear Gauge measure, up 26 cents yesterday to close at $16.66. And in the bond market, we saw that the 2-year bond now sits at 0.48%, the 10-year at 1.8%, and the 30-year is at 2.37%. In the news this week, we saw on the economic front, the Labor Department reported that jobless claims fell to 307,000 in the week ending January 17th from 317,000 the week before. The Federal Housing Finance Agency House Price Index for November rose a bigger than expected 0.8% month over month in November. Annually, prices were up a solid 5.3%. Crude oil stock piles increased by 5.4 million barrels to 387.8 million barrels in the week ending January the 9th. Inventories were at the highest level for this time of year in the last 80 years. I go back and scratch my head. Why are we at $2 per gallon when we have a glut oversupply of oil? Meanwhile, gasoline inventories also increased by 2 million barrels and were well above the upper limit of the average range. Distillate inventories also increased by 12.9 million barrels, and we saw that refinery capacity utilization averaged 93.2% over the past 4 weeks, ending January the 9th, and the National Association of Home Builders reported that its housing market index, reflecting confidence among builders, slipped to 57 in December from an upwardly revised reading of 58 in November. The present sales conditions index was unchanged at 62, while measuring prospective buyer traffic remained at 44. We also, of course, had the State of the Union address this past week. I'm not going to get too much into the political ramifications of this, but we do want to point out some facts of what were said and some of the things that are on the president's mind and so forth. In the State of the Union on Tuesday, of course, President Obama proposed raising the top tax rates on capital gains and dividends, wanting to raise them up from the current 23.8% to 28%. Basically, if this happens, we will have seen capital gains rates almost double since 2013. Unfortunately, raising the capital gains tax will have a negative impact. This is according to Yahoo Finance. They state in here, raising capital gains taxes will never pass the Republican Congress. Mr. Obama knows this. He's putting forward this proposal to make it appear that the Republicans are protecting the rich while he stands up for the middle class. But in reality, the middle class would be harmed by the higher capital gains tax rates because capital then would be more likely to go offshore. While with the proceeds, Mr. Obama wants to provide an additional tax credit to two-earner couples to reduce student loan payments and to end tuition payments for attendance at community college. Some of these are worthy goals, but higher capital gains tax rates rarely result in more revenue because capital gains realizations can be timed. When rates go up, people hold on to their assets rather than selling them, expecting that rates will go down at some point. This is the realization that most economists and experts on Wall Street are aware of. You can time when you sell and get that capital gains, and so therefore you'll actually find revenues falling. As I mentioned earlier in the week on an interview, the raising of the capital gains tax to pay for the tax credit for two wage earners, there's a couple of problems with this. First of all, it's nice to give people money. I think that a lot of the programs that have been originated in this administration, we all know the old adage that you can give a fish to somebody and feed them for a day, or you can teach them to fish and feed them for life. It seems most of the programs that the administration has been endorsing over the past 6 years have been about giving somebody a fish for today instead of where the real problem lies of teaching them how to fish, giving them skills, giving them a good high-paying job that will take care of them for life. If you take that approach, what you'll find is that in the end you actually get more tax revenues. One of the things pertaining to this, I appreciate the fact that the president would like to give money to two wage earner families. I have a bigger concern, as we've talked about on the show over the past few weeks, about this omnibus bill that was passed a few weeks ago, where it's going to be taking away from retired families through their pensions because of the pension provision that was put into that. I find that one to be much more important than a $500 tax credit to a family in a year versus, how many hundreds of dollars are going to be taken out of people's budget in per month in these pension pare-downs that they're actually going to be doing. Number two, the president also mentioned the fact that the financial crisis is over. Folks, quite frankly, it hasn't even started yet, and don't let your guard down. When we look at the debt of this country, even the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has basically said that after this year, we're going to be seeing the budget deficits rising again. We have almost $18 trillion in debt. It is unsustainable. We cannot pay the interest on there when interest rates go back to a norm. As I mentioned before, we are basically bankrupt in this country, and I know that a lot of politicians want to put on a stoic face and say, no, everything is fine, look at the unemployment rate. well, yes, you can look at the unemployment rate, but let's look at the fact of job participation in this country. People have either retired, they have fallen out of the workplace, or they've gone on disability. None of those things are good for an overall economy. These are just some of the facts to point out from what the president was talking about on Tuesday night. Just wanted to put some clarification on some of these. Certainly what we need is we have the best economy in the world currently, but there's a lot of problems that we need to address. And unfortunately, I think we all see with the politicians in this country on both sides not heading in the right direction. But we have a lot that we're going to be covering today. We want to talk about such things as what are important in people's financial lives, about pet insurance and is it worth it, and some findings that the Associated Press has discovered about the healthcare website that we're going to let you know about. All of these when we come back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning. I put together a little thing here, some of the more important things as we take a look at, you know, life has become very hectic, very fast-paced, very fast-moving. There's a lot of things that go on. And I wanted to try and simplify it a little bit to look at from the financial perspective, what are the things that we really should be paying attention to? Well, first of all, we need to understand our credit score. In this country, our credit score is so important. It's going to determine your interest rate on your credit cards. It's going to determine your premium rates on your auto and homeowners insurance. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this started years ago where they actually pull a credit report when you apply for insurance. It's going to apply to your auto insurance rate or for the loan when you buy your car. It's also going to apply to your mortgage rate when you buy your home. The better your score, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars in interest payments because of a lower interest rate, the better your score is. So it's very important to understand how the scores work, what your score is, and how you can keep it in a higher rate, a higher number. Don't charge if you can't pay it off at the end of the month. So many people are, I want it now instead of I'll save for it later. That gets people into trouble because once you start to get a balance on credit cards, that's a ball and a chain around people's ankles, and that could be for an awful long time. Unfortunately, in many people's lives, it's a lifelong event. Don't charge when you can't pay it off, particularly if it's a want item and not a need item or an emergency situation. Make sure that you stay out of debt. When you're starting out and in your younger years, yes, you can have and you are expected to have a mortgage on your home and you're going to have a car that you're going to have a loan on. But when you get to the point, and you should get to the point later in life where you can pay cash for your car, pay off your home, that's what you're going to want to do. But do not get yourself into debt. That is so important because one of the ways that you can kind of give a quick story, you know, do you want to buy that item today and buy, for example, a little Kia, or do you want to save your money and be able to afford Cadillacs later in life? That's basically how you have to look at it. Make sure that you're a saver and start saving when you're young. The earlier you start saving, the better. And an 8-year-old should start saving. Even if it's a dime a week, you get into the practice of saving because there is a very big psychological difference between those people out there that consider themselves savers and those people out there that are considered spenders. Spenders are always buying things on a whim, buying things that they want, maybe they don't need them, putting the money on credit cards, taking buying the furniture on the 18-month no interest. These are spenders. You have to be a saver, and a saver is going to start saving young. They're going to live below their means. They're going to find that having money is more rewarding than having things. You want to buy smart. Make sure you do your research. Make sure you get the quality that's going to suit your needs. And shop around for the best price. We've never had any better opportunity in our lives than what we have today to be able to price shop and get things cheaper. Stay organized so that you're able to make sure that your bills are paid on time, keep that credit score high, know where all of your things are located at. Invest wisely. Help others. Live a balanced life. And remember, most importantly, that money isn't everything. Money provides us food. It provides us shelter. It provides us the opportunity to help others in a time of need. But those people that all they do is worry about money, talk about money, want money, think about money, that's not good for anybody. You have to understand you need a balanced life, and you need to find the important things in your life and put those things in a priority and in an order. It's been said by many experts out there and many people that experiences are the priceless items out there that we all have, the memories and the experiences that we have with friends and family versus buying a material item. And in fact, it's been proven over and over again psychologically that you can go out and buy something that's a want item and your satisfaction lasts for a very small period of time. You can take that same money and help somebody, give it to a charity, or have a lifelong experience from there, a memory that you'll never forget. It's much more rewarding, and the satisfaction lasts for a very long time compared to buying just a want item that you have. So a few small items and tidbits that maybe help somebody, something to think about, and hopefully keeps you out of trouble during your lifetime. And with that, we'll be back after these commercial breaks. Don't go away.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks joke of the week. This one's going to take you by surprise.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a man who's sitting at a bar enjoying a cocktail when an exceptionally gorgeous, sexy young woman enters. The man can't stop staring at her. The young woman notices this and walks directly towards him. And before he can offer his apologies for being so rude, the young woman says to him, "I'll do anything you want me to do for $100 with one condition." Flabbergasted, the man asks what the condition is. Well, the young woman replies, "You have to tell me what you want me to do in just 3 words.
Oh.
The man considers her proposition for a moment, takes his wallet from his pocket, and hands the woman 5 $20 bills. He looks deeply into her eyes and slowly says, "Paint my house." For $100, not a bad deal.
No.
I told you you wouldn't see that one coming.
No, I didn't see that one coming at all. I was like, where is he going? This is a family show.
Family show. Family show. Paint my house. Anyway, as we were talking about before the break, a little bit about some of those things that you should make sure that you have simplified in your life when it comes to money.
The needs and wants thing is the thing my mind goes off on because, you know, there's a lot of things we really think we need, but we really don't need.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People, just that concept of want and need.
Mm-hmm.
You need,
you don't need cable TV, for example.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can live without it.
Well, you'll have a lot of men argue that point.
Especially when the Super Bowl comes on. Some of those kind of things, yeah.
I need that. And I think if we have to be honest with ourselves, too, that's where the first debate comes in. Is it really a want or is it a need?
Right.
And truly, what you just said, you know, cable TV is a want item. It is not a need item.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really don't even need a TV.
True.
But it's very interesting. And it all depends on how serious people are looking at basically structuring their financial lives. Certainly, things come along that can throw us off track. And I think that happens to everybody in their life.
Yes, yes.
And you have to pick yourself up and get back on track. And what that means is just understanding some of the basics. I spend on my needs. I don't spend on my wants unless I have cash. And then you spend on them. You save for things. As we looked at this, one of the things that is very important too, of course, is your credit. Credit is so important in this country. And it plays.
I find that troubling that they check your insurance. Like, what? Why do they check your
credit finance report?
Credit report to buy insurance? You know, do people that have a bad credit report smash their car more often?
That's exactly it.
Seriously,
the people that have poor credit have more accidents.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely.
That is interesting. Do they have a conjecture as to why that would be happening?
There's a ton of studies that are done on this, and basically, if you are financially responsible, you are also more responsible in other areas of your life. You're going to drive slower. You'll stop at stop signs. You won't go through red lights. This was actually a big debate many, many years ago. Should they be allowed to use that as a qualifying a piece of a material in setting your premium rates. Mm-hmm. And they found that, yes, there's a very strong correlation to the way that people handle their finances and the way that they drive.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, it's very interesting. Because I'm one of those people like, what? Why? What's the big deal? What's the difference? And yeah. So, and also the same thing with I suppose that's why they check it for jobs sometimes. You can't get you have to pass a not only a background check, but a
credit
check to get a job.
Absolutely. And a lot of that, now that's a little bit of a different area. They want to see if you are fiscally responsible. They also want to look, you know, if people are having financial difficulties, sometimes they're more apt to be susceptible to, you know, stealing money or embezzling or that type of thing. Sometimes debt can be explained, such if it's a medical situation that happened and so forth. It is amazing how much our overall life is tied to our finances, and particularly our credit scores.
Now, if you have a credit report, can you explain, like, you know, something happened, like, you know, somebody had cancer or, you know, there was a sudden death or something, you know, I don't know. Any number of things can happen to you that are no fault of your own that can just wreak havoc. Or even recently, it had been a lot of people have lost their jobs and have taken jobs that pay way less money, but they're in over their head in their house then, or because they never in a million years expected the economy to, you know, crash for that long.
Sure.
So, there's a place where you can explain that, or how do you get around that?
Well, the most important thing is if you can get the attention of somebody who will listen and who's a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's possible, job interviews and that sort of thing, where people actually listen to, you know, what your explanation is. Sometimes you just don't get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at it and, you know, you don't qualify or we don't want you or this or that or the other thing. But it is extremely important that we have our finances under control. And there, what you just mentioned, for example, with your house and so forth, things, you know, you lose your job, people take a lesser paying job, they really struggle, they fight. That's where some of the government programs in crisis situations are really important. They're helping people that need help and assistance for a legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm.
But these programs sometimes also, where people get upset as they go too far, they're also bailing out the people that got into trouble that shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
You know, if you remember back in 2006 and 2007, people were buying homes, buying four-bedroom homes that had no business buying those homes. They couldn't afford a chicken coop.
They were house poor, really.
They were called liar loans.
Ah.
And they were filling out applications, and the mortgage brokers were looking at them, and, you know, you could put down, you know, I made $400,000 last year. Well, they're not going to challenge you. They're not asking for W-2s. They're not asking for paychecks. They're not asking for anything. And they went ahead, and they would approve loans. And these people, as far as I'm concerned, deserve no taxpayer assistance. They lied. They got into a home that they didn't deserve. They shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right.
But the people that legitimately needed help and assistance because they really got thrown a curveball during the financial crisis, they're the ones that need our assistance. And people are still hurting from that period six years ago.
Definitely.
And these people, they're the ones that deserve the assistance of the American taxpayer in these programs. And I think that's where so many people have, you know, mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
People that needed help, they need our help. People that didn't need our help, they're getting it and they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And that's
where... And how do you weed that out?
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And I think any time that you're working with a government program, a government agency, there's so much leakage. There's so much money that taxpayers are on the hook for that they shouldn't be. I mean, mm-hmm. we all know the story of, you mm-hmm. know... the $3,500 toilet seats on, you know, on
yeah.
the wheel.
Yeah.
Government doesn't, I think, sometimes take the time to have the same fiduciary responsibility that corporations or, you know, other agencies
have. Well,
also,
if it's a CEO of a company and he has a $3,500 toilet seat or whatever, then that's okay because he's not spending taxpayer dollars.
Well,
because wasn't there a guy that decorated his office with and he had like a gold.
There's been a few of those.
Yeah, that yeah. I mean, you know, so, but those guys, that's their money. So it's different from spending somebody else's money, which tax dollars are basically our money.
It's taxpayer dollars or in the corporate setting, you know, that's shareholders' money, really.
So it gets into a little more
absolutely.
Fuzzy area there, yeah.
And it's those types of people that actually paint a bad picture for the wealthy, as a lot of people like to point their finger to.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think there are cheaters in life that make it bad for everybody.
Yeah.
I think most people are honest, though. I really do. I'd like to believe that anyway.
You know, I would like to believe that also and hope so, too.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that in a facetious way. I mean,
I
think most people would prefer to be honest and would prefer to. I think most people, and that's where I think I get a lot of the frustration from the administration, would show me how to fish so I can feed myself through it. They want to be a service to society. They want to feel a fulfilling
A freedom in not having, like, tell you something. When I reached a point where I actually had to collect unemployment, and I find that very frustrating. I don't like doing that. It bothers me. I probably qualified for, like, food stamps and stuff, but I would not go for them because, plus, they want to know, like, all this stuff about you that I'm finding, like, really? You want to know whether or not I'm going to have a baby in the next 6 months in order for me to eat? I mean, like, stuff like that where you're like, you know, I'd rather just have my own money, go make it and earn it and
right.
spend it the way I want to and have a little more independence about it. So I think there's that. But I think the system needs to not be rigged against people to try to make it. Get ahead.
Absolutely. And I wish that Washington, and this is a wish that I think every American wishes, that politics would just get out of Washington.
Get out of the way.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, a lot of these things that the president are proposing, I think that some of them have some very good intentions behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are politically motivated. For example, instead of handing somebody money, taxpayer money, how about setting up programs? For example, you know, look at the long-term unemployment that we had. Mm-hmm. Instead of sending somebody a check every single month for unemployment, how about if the government were to spend some of the taxpayer dollars and give incentives to corporations to hire these unemployed people?
Absolutely. And one of my ideas was, say we have a workforce that is we're switching gears in terms of we're becoming more of an information technology and more of a computerized thing. You know, with the way we even factories, manufacturing. I mean, they people have to be trained differently because it's not all just a muscle job anymore. It's more of a head job.
Right.
But there are people that kind of fell through the cracks because they've spent the past 25 or 30 years of their life doing something different that now is no longer a job or
right.
no longer pays well. So in order to retrain those people, you know, they sometimes, I mean, I think it's strikes me anyway that in the olden days you could get training on the job, but nowadays they want you to come in with all the training ahead of time.
Specialized training, right?
Yeah. So what if they incentivize the corporations to have some kind of a training on the job training, so you can earn money while you're training? Because I know for myself personally, I don't have time to take out, and I mean, I have to keep a roof over my head, I have to eat, and college is so expensive right now. There's no way that you can pay for it along the way and still support yourself. You know, so, I mean, there would be a way to, if you can get on the job training, that would be.
Well, what would it do in the long run if the government were to subsidize corporations for hiring? And say they hired you and mm-hmm. gave you training on the job, and half your salary was uh-huh. subsidized by the government for a period of time.
Yeah, just until you're up and running and you're trained.
Corporation right. has a new valued employee. You mm-hmm. have training. You right. now can fit in. You're now going to pay more taxes, so more revenue for the government. Mm-hmm. You're now a better citizen in society. Everything works. It's a win-win-win situation
Absolutely.
For everybody. And it's money that is very well spent, that you're getting something for the dollar
it's
spent.
It's a teaching to fish situation.
As opposed to just passing it out. Here you go, you know.
Yeah,
go out and make a one-time purchase.
Good luck with that. Yeah. So. Well, and also I think the corporations, from their perspective, I mean, I've actually seen this firsthand, where they would reimburse for education for somebody that works there. Well, the person takes the reimbursement for the education, and then they go get a different job someplace else. So the company just, they paid for the person to learn, and then the person kind of cheated, really, in my opinion.
Yep.
And so they're kind of, I mean, from their perspective, they're probably leery, too, of just, you know, helping people when they're not going to get that loyalty back.
Sure.
So it's,
I really feel, Sandy, that if people got together, Washington, if they really sat down and looked at a problem and tried to solve the problem mm-hmm. without any inclusion of politics, you know, about their own personal career or their party mm-hmm. or anybody mm-hmm. else, and just did what was good for Americans, I think the potential of this country is just unlimited.
Oh, I think so, too. Absolutely.
Just unlimited.
Because we are, I think most Americans have a really good work ethic, and we are willing to go the extra mile and do whatever it takes. It's
absolutely.
Just a matter of having, a system set up where that's possible.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off topic.
No,
but
no.
When I was listening to you talking
fine.
About that, I was like, yeah, it would be...
Well, let's go ahead and get to the phone lines.
All
it's
right.
time
oh,
for
yes,
the
right.
Money Talks Quiz of the Week. 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. Three multiple choice questions. Just for being our contestant, you win breakfast at Bob Evans and a shot to get into the bonus round for a second breakfast. 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number 5. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group, available online at professormoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Quiz of the Week. And who is our contestant?
We have Larry from Kent on the line. Larry, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Well, I saw it was you, and so I had to dig out the super-duper hard questions for you so that you had some sort of challenge here, Larry. So, like, my first question will be, what is the answer to pi to the first 30 decimal places? I know, I'm just kidding. Let's go ahead and get started, Larry. What is the highest FICO score that you can get? Is it 800, 850, or 875? What is the highest FICO score for your credit score that you can get? 800, 850, or 875?
Well, I know it's not 800, so it's either 850 or 875, and they're even talking about changing that. Let's go with 850.
Absolutely correct. The true FICO goes from 350 to 850, and at 850, yep, you're going to get the best rates that they have. I like the commercial that they're running now with these credit scores. I don't know if you've seen the one, wife and her husband, she's in getting a loan at the bank, and she puts her feet up on the desk, and she says, the only question you need to be asking me is, what else can I do for you? Because she has such a high credit score. And
I have seen it. That's very good.
Yeah, it's kind of amusing. But all right, let's move on to our second question. Listen carefully to this. Technically speaking, and by definition, your house, Larry, is your biggest investment, your biggest liability, or your biggest asset. as a norm and as consensus and as a generalization, is it your biggest investment, your biggest liability, or your biggest asset? Now, remember, these are according to me, so I have final say on this.
Okay. I'm going to rule out your biggest liability. So it's either your biggest investment or your biggest asset. Boy, a lot of people have so many big loans, so I don't think it's their biggest. I'd say it's their biggest investment.
Not the answer I was looking
for. I'm sorry.
As far as an investment, and the way that I look at it, and I try to explain it, a house is not an investment. I mean, generally speaking, when you look at what you put into a house and what you get out of it, it's certainly not an investment. Savings account, yeah, I'll go with that. But investment, no. When you consider the mortgage, the interest, the insurance, the taxes, the upkeep, the repairs, you're not really making much on total return.
No, you're right.
As far as your biggest asset, for most people, until they get about to retirement age, and even at that, sometimes it really isn't, a home has a very large balance on it. And for many people, it even has a first and a second mortgage. And so, therefore, most people's biggest asset, in many cases, will be their 401k.
Well, I buy and flip homes, so that's actually my biggest. It is my biggest investment.
Okay.
So in my case, it is, but it's not in a normal case.
Right, generally speaking.
But you're saying, Larry, is that you're not normal?
That's true.
And so that's why I was looking for it as your biggest liability, because in most people's cases, that's, you know, they're going to owe $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 on their home. My last question for you, Larry, is which sector is up the most in the markets as of today from the beginning of the year? Which sector is up the most in the markets as of today from the beginning of the year? Is it the biotech sector, the gold and silver index, or the semiconductor index? Which sector is up the most in the markets?
I'd go with the gold.
Oh, nice guess. Absolutely. I think, you said that with confidence. You must be watching, because it stealthily has moved up year to date. It's up 13.9%.
Kind of followed the market a little bit.
Yeah, biotechs are up 7.4%, and semiconductors, well, they're actually negative 0.9% for the year.
I was hoping you have energy as one of those choices for us to mark that off real quick.
Well, Larry, you did well. Two out of three.
Much.
We're going to send you out your card for Breakfast with Bob Evans. Thanks for being our contestant.
Have a nice weekend.
You too now.
Thanks, Larry.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah, so he did well.
I was fully expecting, because of the way he was presented in the beginning, that he was just going to ace it all the way through. But you actually managed to stump Larry.
I was surprised.
You know, yeah.
He likes his challenge, too, like most of our contestants.
Absolutely.
I see they fight very hard to try and get into that bonus round, and that's what I try to make it, you know. I don't want to make it too hard. Don't want to make it too easy. Want to make it fun and challenging, and so that's what we try to do. And I think sometimes we're successful. And
no, I think so too. Plus, it's always fun to learn in a fun way instead of just,
I mean, it's a subject. When I first got in the business, that I heard the old adage: people would rather go get a root canal than talk about finances.
Plus, you know, it's harder for people to talk about money than it is to talk about sex, they say.
I would find that to be true in many situations.
Like in America, we're just all clammed up about it for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another show has come to an end. It has been a pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry that comes with saving, diversifying, setting up an investment portfolio, financial planning, income needs for retirement, and so forth. We can help you to roll over that 401k or 403b. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today, and we'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talk. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.